In this episode of Larry Doughty Mike's Side, a true recognizable sports voice in the area. Born in Pennsylvania, but scoring big when landing a job at WSLS as sports director in the mid-70s. Today, he's president of the Roanoke Valley Sports Club and still involved in play-by-play. Dave Ross, welcome to the podcast.
Well, good to be with you, Larry, I'll tell you that.
Now, you were born in Pennsylvania.
Correct.
Your dad was a Presbyterian minister.
That's right.
Did you play sports in school? And when did your love for sports begin?
Oh, it started, I'd say it started at a young age. Like I said, my dad was a minister, so I was born in the western part of the state, Butler, Pennsylvania. Then he was moved to a church in eastern part, Darby, but I kept my allegiances to the western part of the state. And he then went to Uniontown, which is where I graduated high school. And I played football and ran track at Uniontown High School.
Let's talk a little bit about your career. Now, you started at WSLS here in our area.
Yes.
You started at WSLS, spent some time with Hokies basketball, I think, then moved to Fox 2127. That was in the mid-80s, making a bigger name for yourself with playoff football, which grew into the game of the week. Where did you get your start behind the microphone?
One of the places that was nice to me was in Uniontown at the local radio station there. I was able to go and these guys would show me around and all that kind of thing. And then I went away to college in Ohio at Bowling Green State University. And there's where I got a chance to do both radio and TV, because Bowling Green had a PBS station tied to the university. So they would do news and sports and all that kind of thing. So I was able to do that. And that was back during, when Vietnam was real big. I went through ROTC and graduated. I was commissioned a second lieutenant in the Army. And I was stationed, the first place I was stationed was a place called Toby Hanna Army Depot up toward the Pocono Mountains of Pennsylvania near Scranton. And I was the information officer, so I'd have to, tape up releases about Toby Hanna Army Depot received a bid, that kind of thing. And I also did a weekly show. It was the Toby Hanna Army Depot Report that went to, I don't know, 7 or 8 radio stations. And you'd say, this is Lieutenant Dave Ross. And again, you'd talk about certain things at the depot or somebody who got an award or whatever. But that enabled me, a guy named Mort Rosenthal sent me a letter and said, would you be interested in doing sports on weekends at WDAU TV in Scranton? And I was shocked. The guy didn't even know me. He didn't know I really love sports. And I said, I'd like to. He says, come for an audition. If we like it, we'll hire you. So I went, they liked it. And what would happen is I'd leave the depot and then go down to WDAU in Scranton. And I did Friday night, Saturday, and Sunday. But the funny thing is, in between the sports, it was radio, TV combined, I had to be a DJ for the radio station there, which was country music. And, I didn't know anything about country music, but that's what I did. And the good thing about getting that job in Scranton was it enabled me to get tape, so I would have something I could send out. And after my year at Toby Hanna, I went to Vietnam, spent a year there, and then discharged and started applying for jobs. And I was able to get a job at WUTR-TV in Utica, New York. And that was good for me because it was a fairly new station. It was Channel 20. And, back then UHF wasn't that big.
Right.
And that enabled me to do, they let me do, I did a weekly sports show, and of course I did the 6 and 11 o'clock sports and things along that line. So that was real good for me. So I was there from 71 to 75. And actually way back then, if you can believe it, they had a guy who did certain things around that area in terms of broadcasting, and he had a truck. And that's when I first, believe it or not, did they did some, did some tape delay of high school football and college football and basketball there.
And who would have thought you would make a career out of that? So let me ask you this, since you've done both, which is more challenging to do, radio or TV play-by-play?
Probably, radio, because you don't, with TV, people can see what's going on. So, if you miss a number or something, they know what's going on. And radio, there's nobody there to really check you out other than somebody who's really big into this thing and has, some kind of streaming going on as well. But you have to really be on your toes in radio because everything is compacted there. TV, you also do, but you have breaks where you have commercials and all that kind of thing.
Do you feel that streaming today has added a new layer to high school football, just from the standpoint, if you're not there on Friday night, you can watch it or listen to it anytime?
That's why that I got the chance to go here with Crunch, because, they leave the game on their website so people can go back and watch it, like I say, on Monday and Tuesday, whenever. Whereas with the TV stations, they ran it whenever it was on. And then if you didn't see it that day or tape it, they didn't keep it on file. So that's how that went.
So today you're still doing play-by-play. You mentioned Crunch. Tell us a little bit about that and how folks find that and whatever your game of the week is.
Okay, well, what it is, I've known Carl York way back. He used to be with Kroger, and that's when he started Crunch. I think, it's been a pretty good while ago, 25 years or so. And what he does is a weekly publication in which he highlights high school football. He also does some other sports as well, but high school football, he'll have write-ups on mainly the area teams, like, the city schools, the county schools, private and all. But he does one not only for the Roanoke area, but New River and Lynchburg. So, he does a lot. And I have been on so many different stations. I started out doing these games in 1986. And that's when I was with WJPR. That was the 21 of 21-27. They were two separate stations.
Okay.
And so I did it with them. Then those two stations merged, and I continued with that. I then did it with WDRL over the last few years, WCW. So it's been going on one way or another since 1986.
Dave Ross, what makes high school football so popular? Is it the fact that you're featuring the young players throughout the game and not just highlights?
Yeah, I think it's a case where people enjoy seeing young people, they're in it, let's face it. And I don't care if you're in college football today, there's a lot of money involved. In high school sports, you don't have that. It's for the love of the game. It's for competing for whatever high school that you're playing for. And you have friends and relatives and all that kind of thing. And it makes it interesting for those folks because they like to go see old Jim out there playing football or Jane playing volleyball or whatever. And it's the really good fact of sports being for the competition and for the love of the game.
Now, you've covered more than just football. You've covered wrestling, golf, tennis, softball, ice hockey, Tour de Pont, cycling, soccer, lacrosse, and you still follow high school sports. I mean, there's something there that makes it so exciting.
Well, it was just one of those things where I, became involved in it, and different people reached out to me. For instance, the Roanoke Valley Wrestling Association asked, do you think there's any way we could get the state wrestling championships on? So I worked. That's when I think it was on. Believe it was on WDRL then, and they talked, okay. And so we taped the wrestling championships would be on a Saturday at the Salem Civic Center, and then we'd show it that next week. And the Tour de Pont, that was tied in with 21-27, and I remember doing that with Dennis Carter. I didn't know anything about cycling, but I let other people talk about it. And then same way with this other stuff, the golf, it was a case where they had a skins game, they called it, where they had area, about five or six pros that would play to see who could win. You know, you have somebody from Martinsville, Lynchburg. And so that was something I did. The hockey I was involved with because I helped them out with PR and all that kind of thing. So it's like I say, I've done about everything you can think of. Chance Crawford softball tournament, the Big East, which of course is fast pitch college softball. It's been a little bit of everything.
Well, you've done it all very well. Now, you're also a member and president of the Roanoke Valley Sports Club. What are some of the things that club does that we may not be aware of?
Well, the thing is, we meet, unless for some reason a speaker can't do it on the third Monday of each month, we meet and we have a guest speaker. In other words, this month coming up, and it'll be a week, it's the whatever that Monday is.
19th, I think it is.
19th, yeah, that's it. The 19th, they're having Bud Foster come, which will be the former Virginia Tech football coach who's, you know, very colorful and so forth. We also have Wes Durham coming up, you know, who was with that Paxton Durham show. And he, of course, did stuff in this area. We've had Marty Smith here, who was from Giles County. And Marty Smith is with ESPN, you know, radio and TV. And he spoke. So we get a wide variety of different speakers. And we usually have, like we had last month, before the start of the high school football season, we get like five or six area high school football coaches to talk about their team and that kind of thing. So it's a wide variety.
Can anyone attend the Roanoke Valley Sports Club events?
Well, here's the thing. You know, there's a membership, but you can do it, but you have to go through. We have the Roanoke sportsclub.org, the Roanoke Valley sportsclub.org, which is their website. You have to sign up prior to the and you can do everything there online through that website, and then you can sign up to go to the meeting. You have to have that in by, say, Friday at 5 o'clock before that Monday meeting.
Better idea, go to the website, just don't show up.
Yeah, no, we used to do that where people could just, you know, come and show up, but it got to be a problem because meals are involved, because we have a meal and then the speaker and so forth. So it get to be where, you know, the Civic Center was expecting 50 and 65, and it can mess things up. So that's why they've done it this way.
Sounds like a perfect evening. In your opinion, Dave Ross, what makes a good sports commentator?
Well, first of all, you've got to really love what you're doing. You have to enjoy the different aspects of it and the challenges of it, because there's a lot involved, you know, with names and numbers and statistics and all that kind of thing. And one of the things I have always done, you know, doing high school games, of course, I get the roster and I set up the lineups and so forth, but I always go to the coach of the team that I am, or the two teams that I'm doing that week, and I have the roster, and I'll check off, how do you pronounce this name? So that I, you know, because you, some of them it's difficult, and so I'll do it phonetically, you know, and so I'd have it right, because I don't want to screw up somebody's name.
Do you have any favorite player highlights during your years in the booth?
Well, I've had a chance to do so many. I was able to cover back in the day of JJ Redick, you know, when, and I remember doing the state championship with him, and had that tremendous game, and they went on to win the title. A lot of the big names, the Barber twins, of course, I covered them. Shannon Taylor, who had a great career with the University of Virginia from Patrick Henry and went on in the NFL. You know, there's so many of them. And then guys who went on to play maybe collegiate sports and then got into coaching. As an example, the majority of the coaches in this area I covered when they played, like Nick Lefwich, who's the coach at Cave Spring, he played at Salem. Jamar Lovelace, who's the coach at William Fleming, he played at Brookville. You've got Scott Weaver, who's at Hidden Valley. He played at Northside. Same way with Scott Fisher at Northside, who played there. And I've covered all these guys when they played. So it's, you know, I knew them when they played, and then they went on most, you know, to college and played wherever it happened to be, and then became a coach.
You have done so much for the community. How did the Dave Ross Buddy Bowl come about?
That came up, you know, of course, it's been sort of on hiatus the last couple of years, but it came up, I don't know, 12, 13 years ago. And Casey Bratton, Kelvin Bratton, who I covered, he played football and ran track at Fleming and went on and was an outstanding track participant at VMI. But he called me up one day and said, look, you know, we're involved with the youth programs, you know, the younger kids, and we want to start a thing where we have at the end of the year a couple of teams that play for a championship or a highlight game. And they named it the Dave Ross Biddy Bowl. And I said, what do you know? I mean, you couldn't get somebody a little better than myself. And Casey says, well, you know, you've covered so many of these high school games and so on and so forth. So that's how it started. And the proceeds from that go to the Susan Komen breast cancer awareness for the cure, and done that for a number of years. Oh,
what a great cause. Now, we mentioned earlier, Dave, that you were from Western Pennsylvania. Do you still have a love for those Pennsylvania teams like the Steelers, I guess the Penguins, even the Pirates?
Even the Pirates, and they stink. They're bad. I mean, they are real bad. But and actually, when I was growing up and young, they were lousy. But then 1960, you know, they went on and won that amazing World Series title when Bill Mazeroski had a home run and they beat the Yankees. But yeah, I still have an allegiance to the to those teams. And in fact, we have a group that try to go to see the Steelers. You know, we'll go at a place and watch a game when the Steelers are playing. And these are all folks who come from that Western Pennsylvania area, like from Greensburg, Pennsylvania, or from Indiana, Pennsylvania, places like that. So yeah, I still have allegiances toward that.
Now, we're recording this podcast in September. We're early into the football season. Is there a local college or high school matchup that you're just excited about this season?
It's hard to say because you don't know how things will transpire, especially in high school, because you can have injuries and things like that that can affect the team. But it's sort of early. It's one of those things that you get down around mid-season, and you may have, for instance, you know, both Salem and Pulaski doing really well. Or right now, for instance, Cave Springs won two games and they haven't allowed a point. You know, if they continue to go on and play, you know, one of the River Ridge teams or whatever, the Lynchburg area has very good teams like EC Glass, Liberty Christian Academy, Brookville. I mean, there's a lot of good. So there's a lot of matchups, but a lot of times you don't see that till midseason or later.
Had it not been sports, what do you think you would have done?
That's a good question. One of the things that I've had as a sort of a secondary hobby aside from sports is I like history, and especially, believe it or not, the presidents. So I got into that, and especially getting involved in the little known presidents like Chester Allen Arthur, James Buchanan, all these different names, and I would really get into it. And one of the best is Calvin Coolidge. He was called Silent Cal, president back in the 20s. And he was, he would say very little. And they tell the story of a woman who was sitting next to him at a state dinner at the White House. And she says to him, Mr. President, I have a bet with one of my friends that I can get you to say more than two words. He said, "You lose." But, there's funny things like that. And of course, there have been some that are good, some that are bad. And of course, all of them have had their foibles or whatever. It's just that's one of the things I like of the Civil War, also that kind of thing. But yeah. So maybe I would have been a teacher. I don't know.
That's very interesting. I know back in December, I interviewed Keith Humphrey, and I asked him a similar question. And one of his favorite presidents that he still likes to read up on today is Abe Lincoln.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Maybe there's something to following the presidents and digging a little deeper into their life.
Here's another president that's interesting. It's our ninth president was William Henry Harrison, and he was in office 1 month. He gave the longest inaugural address, developed pneumonia, and died.
Oh, wow.
A month later. And a lot of people don't know this, but he attended Hampton, Sydney, William Henry Harrison. And of course, he became the hero of the Battle of Tippecanoe, and that's how they had, he was Tippecanoe and the William Henry Harrison, John Tyler, Tippecanoe and Tyler too.
Wow. I didn't know I knew we were going to talk sports. I didn't know we were going to get a good history lesson today either. That is so interesting. Dave Ross, thank you so much. I know you got to get ready for your next game. You probably start preparing about midweek for Friday night. So I do appreciate your time. I mean, you've been an incredible sports voice in the area since the 70s. Thank you for giving the teams and players time in the spotlight. And thank you for being my guest on the podcast.
Well, thank you for having me. I appreciate that you think enough of me to have it, and glad to do it. You keep up the good work, and we've known each other a long time, so it's good to see you.
I appreciate you joining me for Larry Doughty, Mike Side, and episode 57 with local sports icon Dave Ross. If you like Mike Side, follow us wherever you download your podcast, and be sure to share this podcast with someone by simply clicking on the share button. There's a new episode every other week. I hope you'll join me for the next Larry Doughty, Mike Side. See you then.